Hello and welcome to the MB Om podcast, where you will learn to master the business of yoga with guests from around the world who have experienced becoming successful yoga teachers, studio owners, and much more. Now, here's your host, Amanda Kingsmith.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MBM podcast. I'm so excited that you've decided to join me for this episode of the show. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Fave Yogis. Here's a business tool that's really going to change the lives of yoga teachers. The Fave Yogis app puts control and freedom in your hands. You can update your class schedule, offer your own classes anywhere, anytime, and get paid all from your phone. No more updating your schedule multiple places and paying a ton of money each month for a software platform where students might stumble across your classes. Students simply open Fave Yogis and your schedule will be there. On top of being able to send students notifications about class updates, set prices and ticket availability, and auto-send reminders to your students, you can also post workshops and events that will allow you to reach organic traffic through the search feature that you may never have been able to reach through simply putting the events on your website. There's also a brand spanking new feature on the Fave Yogis app. Teaching a lot of classes, now you can auto-generate text for sharing your schedule on social media. Along with a time and date, you can optionally include the title and location of each class or event. This is a super cool feature along with all of the other great features, so make sure you go and check it out. Head on over to the App Store on your device and download Fave Yogis for free. It's Favyogis. Use code MBOM, MBOM, and let them know that I sent you. This episode of the podcast is also brought to you by Yoga Boss Babe. Yoga Boss Babe is a monthly lifestyle subscription box for passionate and motivated yoga instructors who want to build and grow their yoga businesses. Every month, you get a box of goodies delivered to your doorstep filled with things that will help you build and grow your business. Even better than that, though, is that each month you also have access to an online workshop, group coaching, the private Facebook community, and accountability with other members in the group. This is the best way to improve your business, grow your business, or expand your business as a yoga teacher. I know when I started my business, I felt very alone and like I didn't really have a community of people around me. It took a while before I got to know other yoga teachers and other people who were really looking to make their yoga businesses thrive. Joining Yoga Boss Babe was an incredible move for me because it allowed me to have an instant group of friends who were all supportive and encouraging and really knew what I was trying to accomplish in my business. So not only do you get the great things like notebooks and pens and meditation books and cozy socks and foot wipes and so much other amazing stuff, you also get this amazing community and all these other online resources to really help you grow your business. So if this sounds like something that you would love in your business and in your life, head on over to www.yogabossbabe.com and find out more about pricing options, box availability, and so much more. All right, now on to today's episode of the podcast. I am so excited to be joined by Lauren Ruddick, who has been on the podcast before, and we decided to reconnect to talk a little bit more in depth about her yoga teacher training program and business, which is Yoga Academy International. So last time she was on the podcast, she really told me her yoga story and her life as a yoga teacher, what it's like to be an international teacher, to be Canadian and run teacher trainings and workshops and retreats all over the world. And on this episode, we're really diving a little bit deeper into her teacher training. And one of the things that I really like about Yoga Academy International is that not only do you get the physical and philosophical and metaphysical side of yoga, but Lauren is really changing the game by offering something where yoga teachers actually learn how to be yoga teachers. So when you get certified to become a yoga teacher, you obviously need to know how to stand up in front of a room of people and guide them through a class and watch bodies. But you also need to know how to get teaching jobs. And Lauren has been through all of this, so she really teaches yoga teachers this. So on this episode, we talk in depth about the teacher training program, about selling teacher training programs, the Instagram algorithm and how that's really affected her business, and so much more. So without further ado, here is Lauren. I'm very excited to be joined on the podcast today by Lauren Ruddick from Yoga Academy International. Welcome back to the show today, Lauren.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, I'm excited to be touching base with you again. And if anyone hasn't listened to the first episode with Lauren, you definitely need to go back and listen to it. I believe it's episode 65, but it was released on September 18th, 2017. It's one of the first episodes in season 3. So definitely go have a listen. You can hear all about Lauren's yoga teaching story, how she came to yoga, how she's built her business. And today we're really going to dive into what it's actually like to run an international teacher training program. But I think a good place to start is if we can back up. We talked about a year ago. Can you take me through the last year of what you've been up to in your business?
Yeah, I'm so excited. So much has happened. When we started talking a year ago, Yoga Academy was just a little baby school of 6 months old. I'm still a baby school at about 18 months old, but so much has happened in the last year. So basically, as I think we spoke about in the last episode, Yoga Academy came to me in a meditation on the beach in Costa Rica. It was just like this download of a vision of sort of what I had to do with my life and where I wanted to take yoga education. And it was so clear. I immediately went home, bought the domain, and like created the website. Like I saw the picture. And as I've evolved as a teacher and as the offerings of Yoga Academy have evolved and as the need has evolved, the school has grown tremendously and the projects have grown tremendously. So in the last year, we have, and by we, I mean me and a little bit of help on the side by way of interns, and I had some help from a web developer, but I've built an online yoga studio that's streamable like Netflix, and the goal is continuing education for yoga teachers. As far as I know, there aren't other yoga online platforms out there that provide continuing education for yoga teachers. And we've also created a platform that has online courses. So it's like a one-off purchase, and I have two courses that I've personally made. The first one is called Turn Your Life Upside Down, which was just about to come out as we talked about the last episode. So Turn Your Life Upside Down launched, and it was really successful, and it's the ultimate guide to living your passions and doing handstands if you want to. And then I also launched a second course called Uplift Your Yoga Career, and that one is for new yoga teachers to learn how to really get into the industry of yoga, how to get jobs, how to make a yoga resume, how to make yoga business cards, how to make a yoga website, how to ace a teaching audition, kind of all the stuff that they don't necessarily teach you in many yoga teacher trainings, like how to actually be in the industry of yoga and how to thrive. So that's called Uplift Your Yoga Career. And launching in a couple of days actually is another online course. And that one is with one of our Yoga Academy teachers named Tina Bach. And she's doing an Ashtanga Yoga for Newbies course. And it's really her voice and her offering into the world. So on the online sphere, that's what's happened in the last year and a year. And then in the in-person sphere, in the last year, we've done four teacher trainings since we've last spoken, four 200-hour teacher trainings. We've graduated about 50 yogis into the world as new yoga teachers. And I've also created the curriculum for our 500-hour teacher training. And we have a modular style training. So I want to give yoga teachers the opportunity to take the trainings as a personal interest course and then work up to their 500-hour. And also, I know what it's like to be a yoga teacher and not have a time commitment or maybe the financial commitment to do a full training. Mm-hmm. So in offering modular trainings, people can come back and spread out the training for as long as they want. So the idea is there's a core module and then they take three electives and that equals the whole 500-hour training. And the three electives are like individual trainings of their own. So for example, the next one I have coming up is in 2 weeks in Iceland, and that's a chakra vinyasa yoga teacher training. So you complete that training. It's 1 week in Iceland, and you get a chakra vinyasa yoga certification, but it's also one quarter of your 500 hour. And then I have another training in Bermuda, kids yoga teacher training. And at the end of that week in Bermuda, people will get a kids yoga teacher training certification. And then it's also one quarter of their 500 hour YTT. So in this way, people can travel all over the world to do the trainings and also do trainings of their personal interest and spread it out. You know, they could do it in a year, where they can do it in 10 years if they want to.
Mm-hmm. I love that because it allows people to get a little bit of a taste of what it is, or maybe choose something that they're specifically interested in right now and have the money for, and then they can come back for the other stuff, you know, and kind of spread that investment out over a couple of years.
Exactly. And each time they do a training, they still get the certificate. So they'll still get a chakra vinyasa certification. They'll still get a kids certification. So it's like as they build to their 500 hour, they're still getting accreditation along the way. And that was important for me. So people feel like they're being specialized as yoga teachers. And the whole reason I started Yoga Academy was just to raise the standard of education in yoga and have yoga teachers feel more educated and more capable. And so the 500-hour training in these kind of week-long modules has really allowed us to put that in the world. And I just feel so proud of how Yoga Academy has grown in the last year. It's pretty nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's really cool to hear that. And, you know, one of the things that I really love about what you're doing is that you're, you know, adding this more like career focus, because that was, you know, one of the reasons I created MBOM is because I felt like I wasn't really ready to be a yoga teacher, and not in the sense of like I wasn't ready to stand up in front of a group of people and teach yoga. I felt like my teacher training gave me that. But there's all these other elements to being a yoga teacher that just weren't covered, that I was like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I need to learn in some way. I need to figure it out. And I love that you're offering that so that people come away from their trainings really ready to be career yoga teachers.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I didn't teach yoga for 2 years after my first 200-hour training. And then I only started teaching after I did my 500-hour. But when I finished my 500-hour training, I didn't really feel any more prepared. I just felt like I had immersed myself a little bit more. And so I'm really trying to change that. And the yoga world today is competitive, and there's a lot of yoga teachers. And I think that we need to make ourselves stand out. And the way that we can do that is being specialized. And so these trainings are an opportunity to have people be more specialized and to go really deep into a topic. So like this chakra vinyasa training is like one whole week on just the chakra system and how you can incorporate vinyasa and how you can incorporate ritual and music and meditation and what's a good playlist and foods and just going so deep into this one topic. And that feels really authentic and really rich as a curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And so you're doing, I just have your website up. It looks like you have one in Costa Rica and one in Iceland coming up. Is that right?
Yeah. So Chakra Vinyasa in Iceland in, well, I don't know when this episode's going to come out, but in May. And then Chakra Vinyasa in Costa Rica in June. And then kids teacher training in Bermuda in July. And then another 200-hour teacher training in Nicaragua in June.
That's amazing. And so I think that where you were at the last time we talked, all of your trainings were in Costa Rica and you were kind of looking to branch out to other places. But can you walk me through the process of actually finding these places outside of Costa Rica, which was your, you know, it's kind of like maybe your first, maybe your second home. I don't know really which one between Canada and Costa Rica comes first or second. But walk me through the process of finding these new places.
Oh, absolutely. So I actually just did a research scouting trip with Kezia, who's my number one co-teacher on teacher trainings. We beforehand reached out to as many yoga retreat centers in the country that we could find. I think Allison and I, so Allison's like my administrative assistant. So we reached out to probably about 20 or 30 properties. And then the ones that were within the budget that we needed, but also had kind of the space that we wanted and were easiest to communicate with, came on the short list. Mm-hmm. And then we reached out to those places and said, hey, we're going to be in Nicaragua between this days and this days. Can we come and visit? And again, the spaces that were easy and accommodating go on our even shorter list because we're living there for a month. And so it's really important that we go and meet the owners and meet the staff and stay in the space and eat the food so that we know what the experience of our students will be. But also, I want to make partnerships for the long term. And it's really important to feel comfortable in a space. And again, like how accommodating the staff is and the owners are makes a huge difference when we're living there for a month. And ultimately something is going to happen that's out of the ordinary in a month, right? It's 20 people in one space for a month. Stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So after that happened, we reached out, we made an even shorter list, and then Kezia and I physically went to Nicaragua, and in 1 week we visited, I think, 4 or 5 properties north to south, and we just basically hauled ass and checked out these spaces and stayed in each space for 2 nights and ate the food and experienced staying there and met the staff and met the owners and chatted with them and saw which was the best fit. And we did find a place that is basically the dream come true. It's the most amazing fit that I could have ever asked for. For a teacher training, it feels like the most private, the most luxurious, and the safest space that we've ever had a teacher training at. So I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, that's amazing. And is that sort of your process with every new place that you find? Like you make sure that you've got the contacts and then you go check it out and see what it's going to be like before you commit to going there?
Yeah. And so the reason why I started doing teacher trainings in Costa Rica originally was because I was living there. Mm-hmm. And so I had made all these contacts through living in the space. I got to know people. I met hotel owners. I was friends with some of them. So the reason why I had originally been running teacher trainings in Costa Rica was that I was living there. And so in the process of living in the town, I made friends with some hotel owners. I got to see certainly a lot of hotels. I ran retreats at various spaces. I taught yoga at other spaces. And so I had a pretty good idea of how things ran, what the spaces felt like, what the food was like. And so moving on to Nicaragua, it was really, really important to have that intimate glimpse. And so, yes, I would not do a teacher training without first checking it out myself and really experiencing the space, because it's not fair to bring 15 people into a teacher training who are probably nervous about being there, nervous about the curriculum, wondering who their family is going to be for the next month. And for many of them, they're traveling for the first time, or they're traveling alone for the first time. And it's just not fair to bring people into a space that's a surprise for me, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I try to take care of those variables so that we can take care of our students. And so, yes, I would not do a teacher training sight unseen, because I want to feel comfortable and confident telling my students that this is a great space.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you brought that up. It makes me think about how, like, you know, it's scary when you travel for the first time and you get somewhere and say you get like food poisoning or something like that. And for you as like the host, if somebody's like, I don't know, you know, what do I need to do? And you're like, well, I don't know. I've never been here before. Like, I don't know where the doctor is or if these people can help you. Like, that's a scary experience for you as well as the person involved. Like, as the host, yeah. It's something that you want to prevent so that you can be helpful and also make sure that people have that great experience.
Exactly. And that's also why I talk about how accommodating the staff is and the owners are, or like how easy they are to reach. Because if I'm in a foreign country and somebody needs to go to the hospital, for example, which happens, I want to know that it's easy to get there. I know what to do, and it's easy for me to contact the people I need to get the help that my students need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so I think there's a lot of people out there who would really love to be doing what you're doing, like running international teacher trainings, like all over the world almost. I mean, you're expanding quite a bit, but Central America and then over into Europe now. What do you feel like has been, I guess, some of the key steps that you've had to take to like create this successful teacher training program?
Yeah, definitely a lot of people want to do this. And I know that because people ask me for jobs like every day. Every day on Instagram, somebody sends me a message asking me to join my team or how can I do it? But we spoke about this on the last podcast that we did. I think that everything in my life has led me to this place. Like, it's a combination of my experience and my talents and my passions that led me here. So I traveled by myself for 2 years before I ever taught yoga publicly. I backpacked around the world for 2 years. I also worked on the world's most luxurious cruise line, and I taught English in a foreign country, and I worked as an event planner. And so all of these skills allowed me to know how to plan events and what people are expecting in terms of accommodation. And then I also ran yoga retreats for the last 4 years before starting teacher training. So running yoga retreats also is like sort of a glimpse into it, because when you run a yoga retreat, it's an event that lasts 1 week. And you have to do that same kind of research on food and accommodation and comfort and healthcare, travel. So that helped. And then I was teaching yoga for 8 years before I started doing teacher trainings. And now I've been teaching for 10 years. And so I also feel like I have a background of knowledge that lends itself to this, because I've accumulated this knowledge over 10 years of studying yoga as a teacher and 5 years prior to that studying yoga as a student. So, you know, I have 15 years of yoga experience that I'm bringing to the table with teacher trainings. And then on top of that, like having an incredible team. Mm-hmm. We call ourselves a family, the Yoga Academy family, because we are. And my team is so supportive and so committed to growth, and everybody on my team. So for those of you who are listening and wondering how you can join my team and how you can be part of Yoga Academy International and run international teacher trainings with us, I'll say this: everybody on my team has taken the training before. So everybody knows what the experience should feel like as a student. And then on the other side of it, when they come on the team, they could feel how it is as a teacher, but they know the kind of experience we're trying to curate. They know the kind of family atmosphere we're trying to make. The only exception to that is Kezia, my co-teacher, who did not take teacher training with Yoga Academy International, but her and I took teacher training together in Mexico 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she completely understood when I started Yoga Academy International the vibe I was trying to create and the experience. And we co-created the curriculum and the magic, the experience, the vision together. So, you know, she's my number one. I completely trust her in every way with this training. And then everybody else that we've brought on has come from like this web of students and teachers that are, you know, growing and learning. So I guess to answer your question, like, how do you run successful international yoga teacher trainings? Well, it starts with gaining the knowledge in the yoga industry and teaching yoga for a long time and feeling like you're ready to emit a great conscious curriculum. So that's number one. Number two, research the spaces. Make sure you go and see and live and feel what it's like to really be there and taste the food. Number four, make sure you have a game plan for when things don't go so well. That means how close is the nearest hospital? How easy is it to access medical care? How helpful are the people around you? What's the language like? Mm-hmm. Can you communicate? And then number five is have a fucking amazing team that understands your vision, aligns with your mission, and wants truly in their heart to put this forward in a collaborative way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love those. And I love that you brought up how to actually get a job with Yoga Academy International after you said that people are applying. I was going to ask you how you actually get that job. So thanks for touching on that.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, people aren't exactly applying. They're just outright messaging me through Instagram, Facebook, and my email address and asking for jobs. Like, there's no application because we're not hiring.
Yeah, so I guess point number one, don't just ask for a job. Things are never just given to you. That's never going to happen. I love the fact that you're pulling people on your team who have taken the training, because I think that that is really important when you're building a brand and you're creating something that's reaching a lot of different people. And it's a big investment for these people. It's a big time commitment. Like, people are spending thousands of dollars and spending, you know, a month of their time with you. And it needs to be like every moment needs to be not necessarily amazing, because, you know, life is life and things happen, but it needs to be like all kind of cohesive and it needs to flow nicely. And you need those people who have that vision, like you said, on board with you and who are always working towards making it amazing.
Totally. And the people that we invite back to be teachers with us are never the people that ask for a job. They're never the people that ask to join the team. It's the people who are sort of quiet in their transformative experience and who work really hard in the training, like who we see are really committed to their own personal growth, but also committed to being the best yoga teacher that they could possibly be. And then the students that are really at the top of their class when they actually do their final teach out, those are the ones that we ask to bring on. And they're usually the ones that expect it the least, because again, they're going through this like quiet transformation within themselves, and they don't need to yell into the world like, hey, I'm a yoga teacher now and and look what I can do and look what I've done. Like, it's just this sort of beautiful process they go through with themselves. Like, those are the ones that we usually invite back, because we can tell that those are the people that have taken the most from this training and who understand the values and the philosophies of what we're doing. Because it's not just about learning to teach asana. Like, anybody can learn to teach asana. I actually just put out a book called The Yoga Academy Path, the Principal Asana Teaching Handbook, and it's for sale on our website. And literally anybody can buy this book. And if you read it and really study it, you will know how to teach an asana class. Mm-hmm. That's what the book is. It's how to teach great asana thoughtfully and in a flowing way. But asana, physical postures, is 1/8 of the practice and the lifestyle of yoga. And we want to introduce people in our teacher trainings to a holistic picture of this lifestyle, and they can take it with them if they choose to, and they don't have to if they don't want to. But so the people that we end up bringing on to our team are the people that have embraced the lifestyle of yoga and have seen that it's more than just cool poses and tricks that you can do with your body. They are the people who have decided to look inside themselves and grow and turn their darkness into light and embrace gratitude and meditate every day and commit themselves to just being better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I think that you, I mean, you touched on so much about what, you know, kind of the core missions or core values of Yoga Academy International are as well. Can you talk a little bit more in depth about the program? Like, if somebody was to come sign up for a 200 hour, like, what does that experience sort of look like and what do they walk away with?
It's kind of like camp for adults.
The best.
The best. Well, the idea is that we want to give people an opportunity to get to know themselves better. We teach them the yoga, but we want to give people the opportunity to go deep and down and see who they are and what makes them tick and what their triggers are and what stories they tell themselves and what secrets they keep and bring those to light and feel more confident in their skin and feel better as a person and as a human ready to like go into the world as a shiny being. That's kind of what we're trying to do. Oh, and I really, really believe that in order to do that, you have to spend time in nature. So being out in nature is a huge part of our program. So what to expect is that you arrive at a spectacular location. And that is so important. The location has to be amazing because it's not enough for the teaching to shine. Our teaching is great, but the location is amazing. I cannot give a better yoga class than Mother Nature can make scenes. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge thing. So you come and you are living in a beautiful space. And then we do yoga every morning, like a practice. Sometimes it's vinyasa, sometimes it's yin, sometimes it's more ashtanga based, sometimes it's kundalini. And then we all eat all the meals together. So three meals a day are included in the training and they're amazing. Last year, actually, we had the best food ever. So good. And it's, we can accommodate any dietary restrictions. So last year, two of our chefs were actually vegan. So everything they made was vegan, but our other chef wasn't. And so she would make kind of fish and cheese sometimes, but it's really up to our yogis what they want. I'm not a vegetarian or vegan myself. And so I prefer to have, you know, chicken and fish, but it's not always the case. It depends on their groups.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we all eat breakfast together. And then after breakfast is the theory, and that's like the yoga asana theory. And so we go through that. And then there's a big lunch break. And the lunch break is 2 hours. And the idea is that we have lunch together and then people can just laze around, you know, and digest and go to the beach or go surfing or hang out by the pool. And then after lunch, they put the theory into practice. And so there's workshop styles and practice teaching to each other. We start our students practice teaching from day one. So the first day of training, they're teaching each other. And asking questions. And then we have mandatory sunset every day. You have to watch the sunset. It's part of the curriculum. And then after that, yeah. And then we have dinner all together. And then in the evening times is when we do the yoga philosophy stuff and satsang and kirtan. And so in the evenings, it's kind of like a pajama party. We don't ask our students to get back into yoga clothes because I know what it feels like to be wearing sweaty yoga pants all day in a hot climate. And after you shower and eat dinner, you kind of just want to veg out. So every night is just a chance to, like, you know, be comfortable, be in pajamas. And we have talks. That's when we talk yoga philosophy. And we go pretty down and deep into it. And we share lots of stuff. And that's kind of what you expect. Oh, and every single morning we meditate on the beach, or at least near the beach, at least where you can see the ocean. That's also an important part of the curriculum, is sitting and being still and engaging in self-inquiry and also having nature around you so that you feel like supported and protected by the earth. I guess that's an important part of the curriculum as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you've blended this idea of becoming like a career yoga teacher with things that are so important to yoga traditionally, like meditation and pranayama and kirtan and stuff like that, with this idea that we can be in a connected world and still connect to nature and still connect to ourselves. I think that those are all really important balances to strike, that it's often really hard to kind of, it's hard to get those in life. It's hard to find the balances between like online, offline, in nature, not in nature. And I love that you're blending all of that together.
Thank you. Yeah. And you learn, you just learn to do it. I remember my very first teacher training that we did. It was actually before Yoga Academy International existed. It was my own teacher training under my own name. At the last day of training, we had the girls make, like 8 limbs for themselves. You know how there's 8 limbs of yoga. And I said, you know, what would be 8 limbs that you want to make for yourself leaving here? One of the limbs that they chose was, there's a sunset every day and you can choose to go see it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. And again, like, it just really warmed my heart to see that they had embraced that aspect of it. And that's the thing about yoga and yoga lifestyle that I'm trying to put across, is that it's not just an exercise in a studio or in a gym. It's a lifestyle and it's a holistic picture. And part of that is being thankful and feeling connected to spirit or to the God of your own understanding. And I believe that the best way to feel thankful and to connect to God is to be in nature, to be somewhere that's completely natural. And there's no understanding of how this perfection exists, except that it must be some divine miracle. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even in my life right now, I'm in Kingston, Ontario, where I call home, and every single day I go out in nature and I say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so easy, especially if you live in a city and you work inside, which for most of us, that's what we do, to kind of forget what exists like around us. But it's just so incredible when you have the chance to, or when you make the time to just sit there and be like, oh, wow, I like live on this like giant ball of fire that's spinning around another ball of fire, and I have like air and water and all the things I need to live are right here, and it's so amazing and perfect.
Yeah, and you can choose to see it. I remember I was in New York City teaching yoga workshops actually years ago, and walking through the city of massive skyscrapers, and there was just like a little windowsill garden with tulips and roses and all kinds of little flowers. And I stopped and I admired them and I smelled the flowers and I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
Thank you, nature, for creating this. And that's yoga, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Santosa, practicing contentment and gratitude. That's yoga.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. We were kind of talking about that before we actually started recording. Like, I live in Mexico City, which is one of the biggest cities in the world, the biggest city in North America. And I live in this beautiful area where it's like, there's so many trees and so many flowers, and the flowers are blooming right now. And it's like, I forget that I live in this big city because I've kind of got this like jungle of trees all around me. And it's something that I think makes the city a lot more pleasant, because I can go and I can walk and I've got amazing restaurants, but then I've also got this connection with nature. And don't get me wrong, it's not the same as like walking in the forest by yourself, where you can just really embrace the sounds of nature, or being by the beach and hearing the waves, but it's like something. It's that little part that you can be like, wow, like Mother Nature is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's almost this tunnel vision. We think tunnel vision is bad, but it's not necessarily. When you just really focus, you know, one of the limbs of yoga is intense focus, and you can go and intensely focus on like that one flower surrounded by concrete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and experience that connection to nature. I think that's a really important thing that we try to put across in our yoga teacher trainings for our students. You know, they're going to leave and go back to their home life. And some of them do live in massive cities, but you can make a choice to feel that connection to nature and to spirit. Mm-hmm. You just have to work a little bit harder.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it just requires that little bit of presence, which I think yoga really, really gives us. I think it's kind of interesting to be talking about this, because one of my big goals with yoga, more so than any like being able to do like anything physical with my body, has always been about taking that sense of presence and calmness from my mat and into the street. And I always think it's really interesting if you experience somebody who's like, I don't know, a yoga teacher who then you're in the post office or you're waiting at the grocery store and you can tell that they're really impatient or they like snap at the person who's providing them service. And of course, we're all human and we're never going to be perfect. And I absolutely acknowledge and understand that. But at the same time, to me, that's like not taking the yoga off the mat. And I think that the yoga really becomes this thing that changes the world when we take it out of the studio and we like act on it in our real worlds, in our everyday life.
Absolutely. Yeah, I could not agree more.
Yeah, for sure. I love that you guys are teaching that. And so I think that one of the things that is really challenging about running something like an international teacher training program is actually filling your programs. And, you know, you've been doing this for about a year and a half now and running a ton of different programs around the world. What has been your primary way of filling these programs and getting people to attend?
Instagram, Facebook, and word of mouth.
And so with those, have you had challenges like actually getting people into the programs? Because I think that one of the things I hear from yoga teachers the most is that it's hard when you're online. It's hard when you're this online person and people don't have that in-person connection to actually get them to like hit buy or sign up. Like, has that been a challenge for you? And what have been some of the ways that you've kind of like worked around that?
Absolutely. So that's definitely a challenge. And most people who sign up for our teacher trainings have never met us in person. They just know us from the internet, specifically me from the internet, because I have a large social media following. So there's a few ways in which I try to get people to come to our trainings, because I really believe that everybody in the world should take a yoga teacher training. And I do believe that everybody in the world should take a yoga teacher training with Yoga Academy International, because we've taken all of the elements of, you know, decades and decades of yoga experience. Between my whole team, we have like, you know, probably more than 100 years of yoga experience, combined with my travel experience, my event planning experience, and then the amazing educational curriculum that we put out, plus wonderful spaces in nature and really good food because we love to eat. And then we're going to just like let you be yourself, and we're going to love you and hug you through your challenges and teach you how to teach a great yoga class, but also just teach you how to love yourself. And so I really believe like everybody in the world should take a yoga teacher training. It would make the world a better place. And I would love for everybody to take our teacher training because we put so much of our hearts in it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is a hard thing, is to get people actually in the door. So a few things. I mean, I've used Facebook and Instagram advertising as a really great way. And what I've tried to do is just be authentic as possible. So I've actually taken all the photos that you see on our website and in our advertisements. Like, I have personally taken those photos and edited every single one and chosen them. So it's really an authentic experience, like from the curators. Mm-hmm. So it's not just stock photos. That's important. And then everything I write, I really try to be as truthful and authentic to the experience as possible. And the truth is that it's actually been more challenging than ever now to get people into the training, because the Facebook and Instagram algorithms are in flux and they're changing so quickly that I actually can't keep up with the new changes. And Facebook has been in the news recently for some kind of scandal that I'm not completely up to date on, but I've noticed that our ads are not returning as well and that they're not being seen by as many people. And there's something going on in the background of Facebook that's like affecting my business tremendously and my school tremendously. Like, we just don't know how or why. And that means that we have to move to a different platform and try something else. But anyway, in the Facebook and Instagram realm, I think the best thing you could do is be a voice of authenticity and be a voice of truth and really own your power and own what you're doing honestly, and then put it out into the world. So that's very helpful. The second thing is, if people ask, we will refer them to someone who has taken our training who can talk to them about their experience firsthand. So some people say, do you have anybody else I can talk to about the training? And we're like, yeah, here's, you know, a list of 5 students that are open for you to email them and go ahead. Mm-hmm. And then that interaction is not between the owner of the school or someone who works at the school and the potential student. The interaction is student to student, and we have no involvement in it. And it's totally confidential between them, what is said.
Yeah. I love that idea, because it gives them that like that student to student way of connecting, because it is always a little bit different from student to teacher. Like, you kind of wear a different hat in that. And it's not like you're giving them anything that's not authentic or not true, but, you know, having that experience where you can talk to somebody who's like, yeah, this is how I felt after like the first week of going through, or this is, you know, this was my experience. I feel like that adds a little bit of a personal touch.
Yeah. And I mean, I know the experience that we're trying to put out for our students, but the question is, are we able to deliver it? And is taking the training firsthand actually the experience that we're trying to deliver? I think so, but a student who's taken our training would know so better and would have more insight than we do. So that's another thing. But also, if anybody wants to ask me questions about teacher training, I will call them. Like, I FaceTime with prospective students all the time, because it's a huge commitment. It's a huge investment of your time and financially. And so I am so happy to get on the phone with someone who wants to ask 1,000 questions, and I'll stay on the phone for as long as they need. And that has been really, really helpful too, because it's a face to the training, and people really appreciate too that it's not just a random person calling them. It's me. Like, I'm the owner and director of the school, and I will take the time and call people because I really believe in our mission and our vision. And I really believe that anybody who is remotely interested in changing their lives and becoming happier and feels like our teacher training is a way into that, that I want to give them that opportunity. And so if talking on the phone with them for 3 hours to answer their questions about traveling to Nicaragua or what the food is like or sharing a space with 15 other people is necessary, then I will absolutely do it. Mm-hmm. Because I believe in what we're doing.
Yeah, I think that that's such a key thing. I remember when I did my teacher training, it was all through like an administrative person who did everything for me. And even like arriving there, the main teacher wasn't there for the first like 2 weeks of my training. And I think that that was something that was like a little bit, I don't know if I want to use the word off-putting, but I think off-putting is kind of the word. Like, it just feels like a little bit disingenuous almost. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like if you sold teacher trainings under your name and having this following and this experience, and then, you know, they never get contact with you. Like, that's not what people are purchasing. And I think that right off the get-go, being like, yeah, I'll hop on a call with you. Let's talk this through. Tell me what your concerns are. Tell me what, you know, makes you nervous or uncertain, kind of builds that trust right off the get-go before they've even paid a cent.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really, for people who are listening and thinking about doing teacher trainings, I mean, that's really the key to it, is like, be so authentic and give people time of day, because they're giving you a month of their lives. The least you can do is get on the phone for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when you think about like the investment that they're making and the investment that they're making in themselves and in like the trust they're giving you, I think that that time is absolutely worth it. I think that people often measure time in terms of money, like, oh, how much am I making per hour? But it's like, that's a short-sighted way of thinking. Like, when you think long-term, this person's investing a ton of money into your business, and you want to make sure that they're happy with what they're doing and make sure that they feel excited about it. And that kind of rests on your shoulders as a business owner.
But also it's a huge investment in themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to show them that I'm willing to invest in them if they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that way of thinking, is like, they invest in themselves and you invest in them too.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I want to go back to you mentioned the Facebook algorithm. And I think that, you know, that's been a frustrating thing. That's been a conversation that a lot of different people who are in the online space have been having. And I know for me, even it seems like recently, like, group engagement has been going down. It seems like not as many people are seeing things that are even before that they were seeing. And I feel like we're at another turning point with Facebook. In terms of kind of overcoming that, like, what have you done to kind of get around these Facebook and Instagram algorithms that have been like horribly annoying for people in the online space?
Yeah, so I'm still working through that. I mean, it's been a really huge blow for us, to be honest. It's been had a massive effect on my business. And I'm one woman who built a business out of zero, trying to do something good for the world. And I have to play by the same rules as like the Nikes and the Adidases of the world.
Yeah.
Which is kind of unfair and kind of challenging. And honestly, like I was an early adapter to Instagram and I helped them build this platform. I helped them create this community, right? And I have been engaging with my community for 5 years and I am kind of upset at Facebook and Instagram because people have chosen to press the like button and chosen to press the follow button. And now suddenly they don't get to see my message that they want to see because Facebook has decided that that's so. Like, screw you, Facebook. I mean, I'm not happy with that at all. I think it's really unfair for small businesses. It's definitely given us a huge hit. And I think it's also really unfair for my followers who want to interact and want to engage with me. And now they don't get to. I've like disappeared off the face of the earth for many of them. Mm-hmm. So in order to overcome that, I mean, what I've been trying to do is be much more thoughtful with my content because now how people see your content on Instagram and Facebook is directly related to how it is interacted with. And so the more viral the content is, the more people who have chosen to press like or follow get to see it. So for those of you who are not aware, Facebook and Instagram will only show your content to about 2% of your followers. So not 2% of the world, 2% of the people who have chosen to follow you. And then it will be shown to more people based on how much interaction those pieces of media get. So the more likes you get, the more people who are your followers, Facebook and Instagram will show your content to. The more people who comment, then it'll get pumped up a little bit more, etc. So the way that I've tried to overcome it is be a lot more thoughtful with my content. I post content less now, but with much more authenticity and much more quality. So the photos have to be spectacular and really representative of what we're doing. The words are much more punchy and much more sort of owning what we're doing. We're not subtle or vague anymore. We're just a lot more outright and obvious with the message because less people are seeing that message. So you have to make an impact quicker. Mm-hmm. And then another thing I've been trying to do is more Facebook lives and Instagram lives. So Instagram and Facebook are really enjoying the live content because it gets people to stay on their platform for longer. So I've been sharing like yoga philosophy, some of the teachings that we have in our 200-hour trainings on Facebook Lives. And that's been really nice. It's getting quite a bit of interaction. And then also gets people seeing who I am as a teacher and deciding if they want to be part of the teacher training that I'm leading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I think it's like also very frustrating that now they're only showing like 2% of your followers. Like it's just such a small percentage when somebody's gone and like, yeah, like you said, hit that follow button. So they've made the choice, like, I want to follow this person, which means I want to see their content. And now Instagram's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to, like, randomly decide using our algorithm who gets to see this. I think for me, the way it's changed how I interact as a user is, like, I pretty much like everything because I feel for, like, everyone out there. I'm like, I'm getting shown this, which means I want to give it a like because you've like put it out into the world and you deserve to have a like on this because it's at least shown on my newsfeed.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's frustrating even like, you know, on all of my accounts, my following is much, much smaller than yours and I'm not an influencer in the Instagram space by any means. But I think it's like even as a small account, it's affected as well. It's like you notice the difference between, you know, seeing like likes increase, seeing followers increase, and then all of a sudden seeing like, okay, followers are continuing to grow, but like likes, it's like getting no likes. Like even for example, with MBOM posts, it's like, I don't know. Sometimes it gets like 30 or 50 likes and it's like I have 2,000 people following me. Like clearly nobody's seeing it, you know?
Which is
just frustrating. It's annoying. Like I'm like, why can't these people who are following me see this thing? Like this is my business. Like I'd like for them to be able to see my content and clearly they're not. It's pretty obvious.
It's honestly unfair of Facebook and Instagram because we are the ones that are building their platform and supporting their business. And the least they can do is help us with ours. I mean, like I said, even the ads, like I used to be able to put like $50 into a Facebook ad and I would get 15 applications. And now I'll have to spend $300 on a Facebook ad to hopefully get one.
Wow, that's really intense.
Yeah, and that's changed in the last 6 months.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear that. I don't do a ton of Facebook ads. I wasn't really sure like how that had affected. But I mean, that's spending like, what is that, 6 times more money to get 12 times less return. Did I do that math right?
I'm not a mathie, but I'm going to go with yeah.
Okay. Somebody out there is like, no, you didn't. That was horrible.
I mean, it's just insane. Like, and I, you know, I don't have an unlimited marketing budget. Again, like, it really works for huge companies that are willing to pay Facebook millions of dollars to market, but that's not me. And I just think it's a bit unfair of Facebook, like, and to not even announce how these things are changing. Like, we don't know how it's changed, and we don't know why our ads are not returning anymore, and we don't know how to do better. Mm-hmm. You know, at least tell me so I can know how to do better. And I'm not trying to sound like some kind of spinster who, you know.
I was like, I don't know the word swinster.
Made it up. Yeah, I'm not trying to sound like some, you know, kind of shady person who's putting out, you know, like misleading ads onto Facebook, trying to get you to buy into my teacher trainings. Like, no, it's not that. It's that Facebook doesn't show my content to more than 2% of my followers now. And so the only way I can get eyes, people who want to come to training, the only way I can get those eyes on our trainings is actually by paying Facebook to show it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah. And I think like when they first announced that, I don't even know when they first got Facebook ads, like a couple of years ago now, I think it is. It kind of made sense in my mind, like, okay, you know, this platform's been free for us. It's a gigantic company. And I was like, okay, I can kind of get behind like boosting a post here and there or putting some money into Facebook. But it seems like it's just rounding a corner where you just have to spend so much money in order to get anyone to see your stuff. And that feels like a frustrating thing. It's not like, oh, $3 to boost a post for a couple of days and get all this engagement. It's like you're saying, like hundreds of dollars on these campaigns.
Totally. And I'm happy to pay Facebook for ads. Like, I am not upset that Facebook's not free. Like, they're a business. They deserve to make money. They're a great platform. You know, they've helped me grow, and Instagram has helped me grow tremendously for free for many, many years. And I'm happy to pay it back. I'm happy to pay them. But it's not fair to have no idea how the algorithms are changing and how the ad frame is changing. And I can only support them so much. And like, this is my life on the line. My entire life is invested in this school. Like, it's not just my passion project. It's my passion project, my profession, my career. And I have made all the investment into this school personally, and I have to live. And that takes money, right? Like, I have to eat, and I want to have an apartment, and my dog has vet bills, and I want to drive a car. And those things take money. And so the way I make money is through teacher trainings, my online studio, online courses, and continuing education for yoga teachers. Like, that is my job. And so if I can't make money at my job, then I'm going to have to get a new job. And I've put, you know, 10 years of myself into this. So I feel upset because my life is on the line, and I don't know what the algorithm is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I 100% agree with you. And I think it would be a lot easier if we just understood like how to work with it. And I think that, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because it's something that I hear all the time. Like, I'm putting these things out there and nobody's clicking or nobody's buying or nobody's purchasing. And now I have to cancel these things because nobody's done this thing. And then, you know, enough of that happens where somebody gets discouraged and they're like, okay, well, I can't run this business anymore because my output is greater than my input. And I just think that I mean, it's frustrating. Like, it's really, really frustrating. And it makes me feel sad for all industries, but specifically, you know, for our industry, it's like, you know, people are really trying to create amazing programs and create great lives for themselves and follow their dreams and be entrepreneurs. And it sucks when you feel like there's this barrier in the way that you don't even know how to go around.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, I'm happy to pay Facebook and Instagram, you know, to help me grow my business. I'm happy to help them grow their business, like as if it's a collaborative thing. But if I don't know the rules, and like you said, I don't even know how to climb around the obstacle. I don't know where the obstacle is. I don't know how big it is. You know, it's just really disheartening. And so I'm not really sure like what direction we're going to go in now that our Facebook and Instagram ads just aren't returning in the same way, because I don't have millions of dollars right now to put into marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And if my ads aren't returning, I have to figure out another way. So I think in the future, to be honest, what we're going to do at Yoga Academy is start going to more yoga festivals and having a booth and educating people firsthand and talking to them in person, and they can meet the team and chat with us and get our name out there that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I love that, you know, your business is like, you and your team are looking at ways to kind of get around this, because it just feels like, it makes me think of if there's like a literal wall in front of you and you're like, I can't go. Isn't there like a song like this? Like, I can't go up it. I can't go
so
around it.
So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get around it. Oh, rock my soul. I was going to say, got to go through the door. I was like, yeah, we got to find a door.
Yeah. Thank you so much for singing that. I love that. Yeah, that's what was going through my head when you were saying that. Like, you just can't do any of that. So it's like, okay, let's like figure something else out, because this barrier isn't going away right now. I think that's a great idea to touch base with people at festivals and conferences and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what's happening, is like, there's this wall. It's so high, we can't get over it. It's so wide, we can't get around it. It's so low, we can't get under it. And right now, my team and I are walking alongside this wall and trying to find a freaking door.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm nearly positive that, you know, somebody out there listening is like, yes, like, thank God I'm not alone on this, because it feels like a very lonely, frustrating journey. So I think, I guess, taking away kind of your main tips, if somebody else is experiencing this, is definitely like curating content more specifically, being really authentic with your audience, kind of trying to play the game as much as you can, understand it. So things like lives, doing some advertising within whatever budget you have, and then just figuring out other solutions, like connecting, how can you connect to your people in person? So things like the conferences and the festivals and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. I love that. Is there anything else that you want to share about, I guess, tips for running an international teacher training, or things that you've learned? Is there anything else you want to share with listeners?
Ooh, okay. Well, things I've learned is, don't take shit personally, because it's almost never about you.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I tend to take a lot of things personally, and I'm still learning how not to.
I mean, it's hard. Trust. We're humans. We're sentient beings. We feel things, and it sucks when somebody's like, oh, you suck, or you're ugly, or this is stupid, or anything like that. Like, it hurts, even if you're like, this isn't about me.
Yeah. And trust people. Like, have an amazing team, and then trust them that they're going to do their best. Like, that's the biggest thing I've learned. I was a control freak for a long time, and I'm still controlling in certain ways, like how I want the content to look and the spaces and the schedule, let's say. Like, those are non-negotiables, and I'm going to put that out. But the people that I bring onto my team are incredible, and I believe in them. And so I don't want to micromanage them or try to control how they are or what they're doing. I just say to them, do your best. And that's a huge takeaway for me, is find people who are amazing and then trust them that they'll do their best.
I love that. I think that that's like such a good tidbit of information, especially for, I don't know, maybe more like extroverted type A personalities, where you've definitely got a vision, or just people passionate about their business. I think a lot of times it comes down to like having this really clear vision and wanting to see it through. And it can be hard to kind of let people in on that and trust that they're going to continue going with it. But when you can build that together, it's a really beautiful thing.
Totally. And also just be as authentic as possible in all of your offerings. And it's okay to say, I don't know. And it's okay to hit a wall, and it's okay to cry. And it's okay to cry in front of your students. Like, I've had meltdowns in front of my students, and then they're like, oh, she's human too. And she's also tired, and she's also just trying her best, you know? And like, let yourself have those moments. And also, don't try to do it alone. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one for sure too.
Yeah. I'm definitely a woman who's tried to be an island for a long time, and I'm proud to say that I'm now a peninsula.
Nice. I love it.
I don't know if I'm a continent yet, but I'm definitely a peninsula.
You're getting there. You're getting there. Baby steps.
Getting closer to that.
Yeah. Amazing. So if people want to learn more about yourself, if they want to learn about your programs, maybe reach out and sign up for a teacher training, where can they go to find more information?
Please go to yogaacademyinternational.com, yogaacademyinternational.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram as Yoga Academy International. My personal email is lauren@yogaacademyinternational.com. So please reach out if you have any questions, if you're listening to this podcast, even if you disagree, hey, Lauren, I hated when you said that thing, let me know. I love interacting and engaging with listeners and with people who are curious about the school. So if you're listening to this, thank you. And please reach out, check out Yoga Academy International and send us a message and ask any questions that you want and give me your phone number and I will call you because I believe in this. I believe in sharing this love.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been so awesome getting to chat with you again.
Thank you. It has been great.
All right, guys, I hope that you enjoyed that episode of the podcast. If you do have any questions about running a international training program or just training programs in general, Lauren is an amazing resource and she is seriously one of the sweetest humans I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. So thank you to Lauren for coming on the podcast today. And since we recorded that a couple months ago, so a couple of the trainings she talked about have actually passed. So you can head on over to yogaacademyinternational.com to see some of her upcoming trainings. But she has a couple coming up in Nicaragua in July and October, as well as children's yoga teacher training in Bermuda, chakra vinyasa training in Costa Rica, yin yoga teacher training in Nicaragua, acro yoga teacher training in Nicaragua, and a ton of other stuff. So there's lots of cool stuff that is happening with her business. So I definitely go check it out, see if there's a program that interests you, if there's a date that interests you, and yeah. See if it feels like a good fit. And before we wrap up this episode, just a quick announcement that there will be no new podcast episode next Monday. I will be away in Ottawa celebrating Canada Day with one of my very, very dear friends. And then a couple days after that, 4th of July happens. So for all of you Canadians, happy Canada Day, and all of you Americans, happy 4th of July. And we will be back the following week. And I promise you, it'll be worth the wait. I have a massive episode coming out that I'm so excited about. So stay tuned for that. As always, you can find the show notes at www.mbomyoga.com. You can find me on social media at Mastering the Business of Yoga, and you can join the private Facebook community at Yoga Business Badasses. I would love to have you in there. Thanks so much for listening, and namaste.